If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules of Hajj, in fact, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching maqasid, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, as always, our guest speaker in the studio. Sheikh Javid, we are talking about the rules of Hajj and in general, of course, but in particular, we were talking about the rules of prohibitions of Ihram, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. You know, and we've started, in fact, talking about the prohibitions of Ihram from two episodes ago. Let's continue that, and let me, you know, ask you this question to the start of this episode with, because in the last program near the end, you were talking about having no roof, actually, like having, like, you're not allowed to walk in the shade, right?
Yes.
So, well, especially when you are going for a long place to place, like a distance, like, for example, from Shajara to Mecca, it's a long distance. So
sure.
Do you have to, like, again, have nothing over you? Like, for example, if you take a cab or a bus or whatever it is that you see some of the pilgrims, in fact, use some means of transport. So is it allowed for the Shias?
And this is a very important question because many Shia Muslims living in predominantly Sunni populated countries are under the impression of the Sunni, you know, environment and Sunni jurisprudence, and they tend to walk or to move under the under shade by, you know, under shade. You know, it is not permissible for a Shia Muslim who is wearing ihram to walk under shadow or to be under shade, okay? And of course, this rule is applicable to men, according to males. Of course, they should not, because as far as women is concerned, they should cover their head. You know, the shade is there.
Yes.
And so, when it comes to means of transportation, of course, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, it's not permissible to take a taxi and travel from, let's say, from Masjid Shajara, which is the miqat for the people who move out of Medina and leave for Mecca. It's not permissible for them to travel by taxi or to sit in on a bus and travel to Mecca. Of course, there are special means of transportation. There are roofless cars. There are roofless buses without roof. And of course, pilgrims who do not want to travel under shed or under the shadow must travel by those
special cars.
Cars, yes.
Yeah, buses.
Now, the best solution for such pilgrims who are concerned about not wearing or not taking such means of transportation,
right,
is to travel at night, you know. When you travel at night, there is no such problem. Whether you are traveling by taxi or by bus, you can travel,
mm-hmm,
and there's no shadow to move.
Right.
Yes, because it's dark everywhere. So it's best to choose to travel at night rather than day.
I see.
This is a problem which many pilgrims encounter while performing Hajj.
So it is possible, in fact, to travel at night rather,
yes,
than,
sure,
you know, walking in the sun. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program and our questions here in the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Al-Ali al-Azim, Subhanallah. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about the rules of prohibitions of ihram. Sheikh Javid, would you continue? If there are any of those prohibitions left, I would like to hear that.
Yes, thank there you. Are some prohibitions which we also need to learn, of course. One is covering of the face by females, you know. We know that men cannot cover their head, they cannot cover their faces, but as for females, there are some, you know, females who might want to cover their faces while performing Hajj. And there are some Indians who wear the face mask. Of course, it's not permissible mm-hmm. to wear the mask or to cover the face. As you can go and you will see, men and women should not cover their faces. Mm-hmm. Men, women should also not cover their faces. Maybe they might be doing it outside Mecca or elsewhere, but as long as they are in Mecca and they are wearing the ihram and they have made niyyah for ihram, mm-hmm. they should not cover their faces. Now, there's another condition. We talked about being under the shadow, of course, but there is another condition, taking out blood from the body, you know. It is not permissible to take out blood and, of course, to do anything which will cause your skin to bleed, okay? Mm-hmm. It is not permissible. And then we have cutting nails. It's not permissible to cut nails as long as you're wearing the ihram, okay?
As for the bleeding, if some accidents happen, like yes. It, that causes your skin actually to have a rupture and then there would be bleeding. So yeah, is there atonement again attached?
You know, things which are not under your control and things which happen to you without you being in control of it, mm-hmm. You're not to blame in these scenarios.
I see.
So bleeding might happen. Accidents do take place while you are ihram. Maybe you might break your legs, you might hurt yourself. No one wants to hurt himself willingly, but and this is just a matter of accident. Accidents do not make atonement obligatory.
I see. But if you have an accident with a car, for example, yes. while you're traveling, like from Masjid Shajara to Mecca, right?
Yes.
If you happen to have an accident and then you'll end up in a hospital somewhere like that and you need to go under the knife, while right. you are unconscious, so they give you anesthesia, right?
Yes.
So does that interruption of your Hajj, ritual render your Hajj tamattu void?
Of course, if you are hospitalized and you will not be able to perform or to complete the Hajj rituals, you will have to do it next year because you will lose the opportunity and the time.
No, if you happen to be in a hospital, for example, one day or two, and then it will come back and complete your ritual.
Never. It will never make your Hajj void. You will continue and you will go on with performing your Hajj, of course, because the time is not that much limited. You will be able to. For example, if you leave for Mecca on the first day of Zulhijjah, you will have 9 days. Okay,
exactly.
You will have probably 9 or 8 days at least to perform Hajj. So within this period of time, you will be in hospital for 2 days or 3 days. After that, you will rush to Mecca, and you will perform, let's say, the Tawaf. Then you will do the.
Even if you can complete your Hajj ritual on a wheelchair.
Yes, you can do it. The Holy Prophet of Islam in the early period of Islam performed the Tawaf while riding a camel, mm-hmm. and he was on a camel performing Hajj. There were many sick people who were not able to walk on their feet, and they performed Hajj while they were being carried on the shoulders of other pilgrims.
Yes,
and there were many pilgrims who were riding their camels, you know, their quadrupeds.
Yes,
and they were doing it, and there was no objection to people doing it. And this time around, of course, pilgrims who want to perform Hajj or using the wheelchairs, of course, they can do so. And then there are two other prohibitions which I would like to touch on. And one is extracting teeth, as stated by scholars. You know, if you want to pull out your tooth or get one of your teeth extracted, it's not permissible, you know, it is forbidden because it will lead to kind of bleeding, and extracting definitely will lead to bleeding, so it's not permissible. And then carrying arms is not permissible. If you have a rifle or a pistol in your luggage, you should not carry it while you are wearing ihram.
What about a knife or a sword that is...
Anything, arm is arm, anything which is called arm. If you have, for example, a kitchen knife, you keep it in your kitchen. You are not supposed to take it out as a weapon and carry it with you for some reasons.
Okay.
So it's not permissible. And last but not least, because we are running out of time, I would like to touch on one issue which is very important, and that is the tawaf and nisa, okay?
Right.
This is not one of the prohibitions, but since it's important, I would like to conclude this discussion with tawaf and nisa. Of course, tawaf and nisa is a hajj ritual, part mm-hmm. of the hajj ritual, which is particular to Shia Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
The Shia Muslims must perform tawaf al-nisa in order for them to become halal for their spouse, okay? Mm-hmm. Tawaf al-nisa is done after shaving, okay? One should perform tawaf in its prayer. And it's the last rite, the last practice, the last ritual that one should perform. No one, Shia Muslims should make sure that they do not forget.
I see.
The tawaf al-nisa. And if they happen to forget it, they should choose someone else or a representative to perform this tawaf and its special prayer on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajamilaha غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير.